Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We were going to see the world. In this land, we placed baptismal fonts. And an infinite number were baptized. And they called us Karabi, which means men of great wisdom.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. And on her first album of new material since 2004, the poet, author, and songwriter Patti Smith seems to be in the mood for an adventure. Of course, whenever she releases a new record, it's something of an adventure, but here, the opening track, Amerigo, is named for the explorer Amerigo Vespucci. Near the end of the album, Columbus's name is invoked. The title of Patti Smith's latest record is Bunga. It brings her back to our Soundcheck studio. Patti, welcome.
Thank you.
So, it seems like this album is as much a journey as a collection of songs.
Well, I think so. I mean, I didn't plan anything. Banga was the first song that I conceived of, which is completely disconnected from the record. But it evolved like that. It just, I traveled quite a bit in the last 2 years, traveled with my book and mm-hmm. with my band, and a lot of the songs reflect those travels and things I was studying and things I was interested in, and even an ocean voyage with Lenny Kaye on the...
The guitarist.
Yes. Jean-Luc Godard invited me to go on a cruise with him and his crew on the Costa Concordia, the Italian ship that sadly went down, mm-hmm. and to do a little filming for his movie Socialism. So there was a 10 days at sea, which is also... invoked on the album.
Mm-hmm. Through these various
Just through the experience
and some of the imagery.
Yes, I've never been at sea, you know, being in the, you know, that remote in the center of the sea. So it gave me time to contemplate and write material, but also think about the idea of being at sea and the early explorers and what it must have been like, both exciting and terrifying.
I would think it could be both exciting and terrifying to be on a boat with Jean-Luc Godard. what was the thought behind that cruise?
Well, Mr. Godard is very secretive, so I'm not completely sure. He just decided he wanted to shoot part of his film on this cruise ship, and my duties were quite light, so we had a lot of time to get off the ship and when we were at port and to... explore Rhodes and Alexandria and Cyprus. And when he needed me, I was ready to perform or do the shots that he wanted. So it was mysterious and exciting.
Hmm. So you were there to be both an actor and to score the film?
I was just a very minor character. Hmm. He said he wanted one good American. And he chose me. I thought that was very, very kind of him.
Yeah. Speaking with Patti Smith, this is Bunga is your first album since the book Just Kids came
yes.
out. Did the writing of that book have any effect on the songwriting process? Did you feel like a different songwriter when you came back to it?
No, because my process of writing is very different from songwriting. Songwriting is a very collaborative process, and writing poetry and fiction or nonfiction is very solitary. I think the travels and experiences I had informed the songs, but also the welcoming from the people all over the world for the book, which I never dreamed. You know, I didn't anticipate that, and it just... made me feel so happy and as if there was, you know, just a world of people to communicate with. Mm. And I think that was inspiring.
So the idea that maybe this album would reach a new audience,
yes.
People who had not heard your music
yes,
before.
Yes, I don't know if it will happen, but the idea of it is intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is, I mean, in listening to the album first time through, my ear was caught by one chorus that, to me, sounded like it might have been written to Robert Mapplethorpe, having read Just Kids and stuff. It's, you know, the line, I know you, I knew you when we were young, I knew you, now you're gone. And then when I looked at the title of the song, it's called Maria.
Maria, yes. I wrote it for Marie Schneider. Marie Schneider, of course, was the French actress in Last Tango in Paris and The Passenger. And I got to know Maria when we were touring Horses. And just,
your 1975 record.
Yes, and when we were touring in 76, she joined us for a while. And just her particular energy and charm and our mutual irreverence permeated that period for me. And she passed away last year. And I was very sad because it really, the loss of her really threw me back to that period with such clarity. And I was listening to this music that Tony Shanahan wrote, and the words just tumbled out.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not really just about Maria. I mean, Robert is in it. All of us are in it. The 70s is in it. I think of all the songs on the record, it's probably the most nostalgic and the most personal.
Here is a little bit of that song, Maria. It's from the new album by Patti Smith called Banga. A little bit of Patti Smith's Maria. It's a song from her new album called Banga, which is out now. Patti, you mentioned Tony Shanahan. He's the bass player in the band. You mentioned Lenny Kaye, the guitarist. Then there's also J.D. Daugherty playing drums.
That's my core band. My son, Jackson, also plays quite a bit of guitar. He does a beautiful, very emotional solo on Maria. And he also is the dog track on Banga. He does great dog impersonations because he and his wife Meg White have five dogs,
mm-hmm.
and Jackson can do every one of them. Mm-hmm. So he has a rich he has a rich repertoire of dog barking.
Right, and Meg White, of course, formerly of the band White Stripes. So they have five dogs.
Yes.
So let's talk about Banga for a second then. It's the name of the record, but it's also a name from The Master and Margarita.
Yes, it's the dog in Master and Margarita. It was Pontius Pilate's dog. And I was very taken with this dog, who is a minor character in Bulgakov's masterpiece, but such an example of love and loyalty that I wanted to write a song for Banga. And the song itself evokes my feeling about my band, the people, when we perform. It's just a reverent little song. I even wrote the music. It's a very simple song, but it's our little anthem.
Mm-hmm. For folks who haven't read the Master and Margarita, Banga, Pontius Pilate is sort of spending eternity, it seems, waiting to be pardoned for the crime of having...
Well, he just wants to talk to Jesus Christ. I don't know if he expects to be pardoned, but he wants to perhaps apologize, mm-hmm. but also continue their very interesting conversation. I think after he regretted putting him to death, but also realized that he was talking to a person of such intelligence and he was surrounded with such stupidity that he missed him. But he was made to wait for 2,000 years, and Banga, his dog, waited patiently by his side. And I just thought that was beautiful.
Right. And here's Lenny and JD, and these guys have been at your side.
Oh, Lenny's been with me for 40-some years. JD, close to that. JD's been my only drummer since 1975. And Tony has been my bass player and collaborator since 1995. So, you know, we're a true band.
Mm-hmm. The album is called Banga, and we heard a little bit of this, the song Maria. It's not the only elegy on the disc. There's a song called This Is the Girl, which you wrote after Amy Winehouse's death. Why did that provoke a song from you?
Well, I didn't plan to write a song for Amy any more than I planned to write a song for Maria. It just happened. I was very saddened by her death. I really admired Amy's voice. And like probably many, many others, I worried about her, even parentally. I'm certainly old enough to be her mother. And when she died, I wrote a little poem for her. And we were in the studio really doing guitar overdubs and finishing the album. And I was working on my poem. I was just because I sit around a lot while they're doing guitar overdubs. And Tony brought me another piece of music. And, you know, I said, really, our album is finished. But he wanted me to hear another piece of music. And so he was playing it for me. And I was half listening while I was working on my poem. And then discovered they were the same, that the cadence of the poem and his music merged perfectly. And it was just... It's like the easiest birth imaginable. It was just, they were meant for each other. So I sang it to him, and he said, well, let's do it. So I said, all right. And we went in the studio. He taught it to everyone, and my son was there, and we recorded it. Mm-hmm. And it was really, as I said, not planned. It was just one of those little things, like a little flower dropping at the end of the record.
Okay. Patti Smith, Jackson Smith, and the rest of the band, and a little bit of the song called This Is the Girl.
This is the girl across the line. This is the song of the smothering vine, twisted as laurel to crown her head, laid as a wreath upon her bed. This is the girl. This is the blood that turns into wine. This is the wine of the house, it is said. This is the girl who yearned to be heard. So much for cradling a smoldering bird. This is the girl.
This Is the Girl is the name of the song from Patti Smith's new album, Banga, written after the death of Amy Winehouse. Patti Smith with us on Soundcheck today. And Patti, just listening to the album as a whole, I'm not sure why this is, but I just got the impression of something Eastern in a lot of in a lot of these songs.
I gravitate toward Eastern culture. I really don't know. I don't really analyze the work that I do. In fact, a journalist said to me upon listening that it was really seemed like an album of portraits. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't think so. And then he pointed out that I think 70% of the record are portraits of people. And I had no idea. I have sort of a movement in my mind or emotion. But, you know, there's, you know, in terms of our culture, we travel so much. And the music of other cultures become second nature. And perhaps, you know, as I said, they just permeate what we do.
Mm-hmm. It makes listening to this album interesting on a couple of levels. I found myself trying to sort of tease out clues from lyrics and things like that. The song Mosaic, the first time I heard it, I thought, this almost sounds like Rumi.
Exactly. That's why it says in the beginning, I thought so too. I heard the, that I interrupted you. My drummer, J.D. Daugherty, wrote this music, and Jay rarely writes songs, but when he does, they're a jewel, and they're different than anything else. And he wrote this on his mandocella, and when I listened to the music, all I could think of was Rumi. I don't know if the music has some kind of Turkish feel or a Sufi-like quality, but I kept thinking of Rumi. That's why at the top it says, Last Night in Konya, because Rumi is from Konya, at least buried in Konya. So it was a tip of the hat to Rumi, and I fashioned the language to have sort of a universal love theme, not a romantic love, just universal love. And as I was finishing the lyrics, I saw Hunger Games. And I didn't read Hunger Games, but I saw the premiere of Hunger Games. I was very taken with the story of this girl, Katniss Everdeen. And I like her character very much. I like a girl with a bow and arrow. And there is there is the pulpit of the arrow in the lyrics. And so I added the small improvisation as a little salute. It says, I hunger for the cooling flame, which is a very Rumi line. I hunger for the infinite game. And so it's my little salute to Katniss.
Wow. Mixing Rumi with Hunger Games. The song is called Mosaic. I've got an appropriate title after all.
That's right.
From Patti Smith.
Last night was a rapture in the mosaic sky. Dropping shards of love. Dropping shards of heart, precious seed, precious life conceived in a ring of fire, in a sleep of peace. Nothing stops desire, could the human beat.
I hunger.
Mosaic from Patti Smith, the album called Vanga. It is out now with her longtime band, Tony Shanahan, J.D. Daugherty, Lenny Kaye, bass, drums, guitar, respectively. Her son, Jackson Smith, and daughter, Jessie Paris, help out. Tom Verlaine.
Yes, of course. Tom Verlaine only plays on two cuts, but he's so memorable. He does all of that filigree-esque guitar work on April Fool, and is just is right in step with me in Nine. Nine is a live cut. There's a few live cuts, but Nine is completely live, the vocal, everything.
So that's live just, in the studio as yes, opposed to doing yes. one track at a time.
Yes, yeah. Well, almost every cut is semi-live, and but there are a few that are completely live. And Tom, in the breakdown, he just flew. He improvised a beautiful breakdown. And my band is so good at improvising, we just stayed with him, and Tom propels that track.
How long has it been since the two of you have worked together?
Tom and I work intermittently. Sometimes he plays with the band. He, you know, often will play on a song on a record. I can't remember when he last recorded with us, but I see him all the time, and he's part of my life, so we just have such similar sensibilities that when we're improvising together in the studio, he's like oral calligraphy.
Mm-hmm. Oral, A-U-R.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Now, the song Nine, is this the song for Johnny Depp?
Yes, this is Johnny's birthday is coming up June 9th, and I wrote it a couple years ago. We were in San Juan, and he was filming Rum Diary, and we were really in the middle of nowhere, and it was his birthday was coming up, and so I wanted to give him a present, so I thought I would write him a song. And I talked to his sister and got some facts about his birth, what the hospital he was born at, and I did some research and found he was born under the full moon. And I just took everything that I knew about Johnny as a friend and as an admirer and encoded it in this little song.
You refer to the Nine of Diamonds at least twice in the song. Mm-hmm. That's considered a very that's the curse of Scotland. That's the nickname of the Nine of Diamonds. It's considered a very unlucky card.
Well, you know, it's Johnny, you know, lives a life that is both a blessing and a curse. So perhaps that would resonate for him.
Let's hear a little bit of the song. It's called Nine from Patti Smith.
Night, a nine of diamonds, a woman lay and cried at the Sister of Mercy on the Sabbath day. Night, a nine of diamonds, as revelers commence to shiver as she bore in a babe a radiance. Brave in constant motion,
what do you get the man who has everything for his birthday? If it's Johnny Depp, you write him a song. Patti Smith with Nine. Before we wrap up here, this is not the only creative project you've been working on lately. There's a crime novel in the works?
Well, it's a detective story, or a series of detective stories. But I'm working on, I have three book projects that I'm working on simultaneously. I always work on several projects at once. It's like I'm my own horse race. I have several horses, and you know, we see which one
gets
across
first.
The finish line. But right now, my energies are focused on the record and the band.
The album concludes with a Neil Young song, After the Gold Rush. You and a choir of children. What was behind that choice?
Well, the last cut, which is a 10-minute improvisation, ends quite darkly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want the album to end on such an apocalyptic note. So I thought that I would write a little song, sort of a prayer or some little piece of dawn. And then I happened to hear after the Gold Rush when I was in a cafe, and I thought, Neil's already written the song that I need. And it's my son and daughter live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very moving to do this little song with them. And I brought the children in, the one that's a nephew of Tony Shanahan and his friends, and a little girl, the little sister of one of his friends who's not even 4 years old. And because I wanted them to sing the last line, which is sort of a cautionary line, and with all their innocence, it's in a way, you know, daunting. You know, it's not a happy line. Mm. You know, it's cautionary. But to have children singing it innocently, you know, gives us both possibilities to either abuse nature to the mm-hmm. point where nature just will take us down, or respect and love Mother Nature and be treated well and kind. You know, in terms of any political thoughts on the record, that's my main concern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond politics. It's a global concern, our environment.
All right. Well, Patty, it's been a real pleasure having you with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. The song is Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. It concludes Patty Smith's album called Banga.
Mother Nature on the run in the 21st century.
That is how Patti Smith's new album, Banga, ends, with a group of kids and a Neil Young song. The record's out this week, and you can find out more about Banga on our page at soundcheckworkshop.org. That's going to do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. Tune in tomorrow as we listen back to some of the interviews and performances we've heard this year from nominees at this Sunday's Tony Awards. Our technical director is Irene Drudel. Our show is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our intern is Alex Abnos. And our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer for the Soundcheck podcast.